sex talk. Derek and Miley, cause sexuality is tough. And okay, sex just isn't good enough. No, sex talk with Derek and Miley.
Hey folks, welcome to Sex Talk with Erica Miley. Erica Miley here. I'm really excited, y'all. We're going a fun direction with the show today. I have a new friend on the show. We're going to talk all about MMA. Yes, mixed martial arts, you all. And yes, we are going to relate it to sex. I promise we will get there. I want to say hello. Thank you for coming, Josh Thomas. Thank you for joining me. You are the host of The Takedown.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to be on your show eventually too, because why not bring all the worlds together? And MMA and sex go together, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Most MMA events are held in Las Vegas, Sin City, so why not?
I mean, right? The perfect environment. So, but really, we wanted to talk a lot about CTE. Now, tell me what CTE is. For our listeners who do not know, what does that mean?
Okay, so CTE, I'm going to butcher how to pronounce it. I was actually, my wife works in the medical field, and I was like throwing it to her. I was like, how do you say this? It's chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Did I get that right?
Yeah, good look at you.
Yes, thank you. It is a brain degeneration caused by repeated head traumas. And the only diagnosis that you can make of it right now is by studying the brain after the patient has already passed away. And so in my line of work, as you know, a coach in the MMA world, it's absolutely, like, it's fucking scary because these guys they're sparring all week or you know, sparring one day a week. And then at the end of the month, we have a fight. Granted, you take a little bit of time off after the fight, but in that fight, you're swinging to knock somebody out, to shut somebody's lights out. And it's just repeated blows to the head over and over and over. I mean, it's very scary being in this world and being in this world for as long as I have been in it. It'll definitely kind of keep you up.
I can imagine, you and I were talking a little bit before we got on, that I've worked with clients that have had traumatic brain injuries regardless of where they've come from, like whether it was an athlete or someone who had a work injury or, I mean, fell down off of a bike, right? Like this injury can be simple, like it can happen quickly, and really, really debilitate a person. The memory loss, confusion, impaired judgment, impulse control problems, depression and anxiety, and suicidality. Suicide is the one that I, as a clinician, is the one that I would often be, when somebody would get to me, it was because usually they were suicidal. So by that point, they had not gotten help from anyone, and they had had this injury, sometimes like years before, and they didn't understand often why they were experiencing the things they were experiencing, because it wasn't happening before the injury.
And that's a lot of what it is you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot of people who aren't even in combat sports, or they aren't even in physical sports. Like you said, a work injury, a car accident, just little things like that, subconcussive blows. So you might not even have any symptoms of a full-fledged concussion, you know, the dilated eyes, the nauseous, the confusion. You might not even have any of these symptoms. And later on down the line, you're still going to suffer from this disease. And it's really sad watching it in, I guess, real time as a MMA fan, more so than as a coach. Because as a coach, I can kind of take the precautions and protect people around me as much as possible. And a lot of people don't understand, but headgear is one of the things that's kind of up in the air. Headgear doesn't actually protect the brain at all. Headgear actually just protects you from getting cut the week of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these guys, these younger guys, these up and coming guys, and you know, you're 18, 19 years old, you know it all. And they throw this headgear on and they think they're invincible. And you got to answer for that later in life.
Yes. That's, I think, the crappy part about this is that eventually this person, whoever they are, regardless of what walk of life they're from, like there's famous cases of CTE, and this is my bias and I'm not going to diagnose them from far away, but it makes me wonder, like, if someone like OJ Simpson has a CTE, and is Nicole Brown dead because of the many, many times he was hit in the head? I mean, we don't know that. Of course, that's like Monday morning quarterbacking, right? But like, we've seen famous cases of people, like people's lives being ended in various ways, whether by their own hand, them harming someone else because of something that they didn't necessarily know was going to give them a lifetime of problems.
And that's two actually well-known cases have ended with the person themselves dying and then people around them. You look at Chris Benoit, Vice just done an incredible documentary. It's called Beyond the Ring or something. It was about the life of Chris Benoit. And as a professional wrestler, you think, oh, well, they don't actually get in there and fight, and they don't actually get in to wrestle, but that's still multiple sub-concussive blows. And this guy one day decides, I mean, he didn't decide. You understand what I'm saying? He kills his wife, he kills his son, and then he kills himself. And then Aaron Hernandez, which was the more famous case, was just blown up in the Netflix documentary, and he supposedly killed two people and then committed suicide in prison, which you don't, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that he actually did kill those people, whether you believe he didn't kill them or not. Whether you're a hardcore New England Patriots fan or not, the guy was...
Right.
So that's the two biggest cases on the biggest platform possible on Vice, which is a pretty big news outlet, and then Netflix, which is a huge media streaming center, and it's still one of those things that just isn't getting traction. It's not being talked about.
Right. And what do we do? I think this is an excellent question about, we're often a reactive, at least here in the US, and as COVID is really lifting the light on and shedding light on this. We are a reactive society. We're not a preventative society. So it's just like for the reasons people come to see me, right? People come to see me because there has been a problem in their relationship, or there's been problems for a really long time and it's finally blown up, or someone has waited 5 years before they've sought mental health treatment, or someone's in crisis and they find their way to someone like me, and then they start to get the help they need. What would it be like if we shifted our attention as a society to something preventative? Like you and I were talking about, like some of the headgear that could change, or doing preventative protection of your head younger. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wrestled for my entire life, and growing up, middle school, high school wrestling, you know, you're not wearing headgear, you're in the room, you're getting thrown, you're throwing other people, you're instructing. And even in wrestling, which isn't a big CTE culture, I guess you could say, but high school wrestling, college wrestling, I mean, I had two concussions my senior year. I was wrestling with some heavier guys out at the local college, and I ended up with two concussions. And what they tell you to do after a concussion, they tell you to take the week off and let your brain recover, you know, of course, air quotes for those who can't see.
Air quotes for our audience.
They tell you to let your brain recover and then come back and you work your way back into it. But now I feel in this 2020, I feel like hopefully there is, because there's information out there. You just have to seek it. You know, knowledge is power. And all you have to do is seek the information that you're looking for. You can Google CTE right now and it'll bring up an entire list of symptoms and how to diagnose it and how to prevent it, which is to prevent subconcussive blows or very concussive blows. So as an MMA coach, what we do, we used to spar a lot. Now the sparring is more technical. It's not, you're not trying to land and hurt your partner, because these are the guys you train with every day of the week. You're trying to be as technical as possible while also being as mindful as possible, which is super helpful because you learn more from that than actually getting punched in the face. I mean, nothing is more, nothing teaches you more than being punched in the face. But when you slow it down and you're working at this technical speed, you can fill a lot of gaps that you would have in your boxing or your kickboxing or whatever it be, because you're seeing it a lot slower, and then you can work towards kind of helping yourself out. So it's just preventative measures from us, because I didn't know what CTE was until I was like maybe 22, and I'm 25 now. So it's just preventative measures that just weren't being taken. And now I think the world is starting to pay attention, but it's still not where it should be.
Absolutely. I mean, I know there are, at the very least currently, I've read research and I've read stories, especially about parents who are really considering not allowing their kids to do certain sports until they're older as kind of a protective measure. And I'm a parent. I do, like, that question does run in my mind. Like, is my little kid, if one of my little kids wants to play football, will I let them? Perhaps flag. I don't know that I want to let them play where they're actually hitting another kid, because they've got to be able to use that brain. Like, the likelihood that any of my children are going to be drafted in the NFL is pretty slim. We got 5'4" hobbits over here in my gene pool. Like, the likelihood of that is pretty slim. So is the risk worth that? Is the risk of what it does to the brain worth that? And I might make some people super mad about saying that, but I think it's an excellent question for us to ask in preventative measures, and ask it honestly without, like, I'm a huge 49er fan. I have been since I was a child. I was born and raised in California. So don't even ask why I'm a 49er fan. Born and bred properly. But when I see the injuries and I see the results of the injuries, I do. It does make me wonder, like, do I want my kid doing that?
And see, I just had my first kid, and everybody's asking, like, what are you, you know, you're going to coach her, you're going to teach her? And I'm like, I would rather her be anything else in the world but a fighter. But if that's what she chooses, you know, I'm not going to stop her. She will take the preventative measures, because it's just not worth it. And I love MMA. I live, breathe, eat shit MMA. Like, I absolutely love it. I'm not trying to knock anybody that might want to try it. I'm just saying that you've got to take care of your brain, because it's one of those things that now that all these things are starting to come to light, it is fucking scary. And if you want to extend your career and you want Conor McGregor money, you have to take care of your brain.
Yes. Did you hear that out there, folks? If you want to be a fighter, okay. If you want that money, protect your brain.
Yes. You can't make money sitting on the couch.
That is for damn sure. So when it comes to sexuality, and I think this might be interesting for us to talk about, fighters from MMA, some of them, notoriously, not all of them, some of them have been known to be aggressive. And I do, it does make me wonder if CTE is a part of that. And we've definitely seen famous cases on the news of there being prevalence of DV, right? Like domestic violence and crossing other people's boundaries. Like, what are you thinking what do you think about that? Like, when you've looked into when you've been a part of MMA. So, like, when you see that happen in the world of MMA, like, what are you thinking about it?
Probably 2 or 3 years ago, you know, before I knew about CTE, I was just thinking, well, maybe he, first off, domestic violence is one of those things where, like, you can't make it okay in my eyes for you to fight with your significant other. I can't see that. In my opinion, just walk away or settle it verbally instead of physically. But in my mind, 2 or 3 years ago, when all these domestic violence cases would come out, or you'd see a fighter or even just a famous athlete and they're getting pulled over for a DUI or this or that, I'm thinking, okay, well, they're just, you know, they're making a shitload of money and they're spending it how they want and coming home fucked up. Their wife's probably not happy. And then, of course, them being under the influence or intoxicated, whatever it may be, it escalated. Now that I've talked to a lot of people and I guess research CTE as much as I have, now I'm kind of starting to think, well, there's a huge case actually right now in the MMA world. There's John Jones. He's our light heavyweight champion. He was like the first fighter sponsored by Nike or Gatorade. Big name, right? Continuously hit and run, drag racing, was just arrested for another DUI. And now I'm starting to think, well, maybe it's not that this guy just likes to party. Maybe this guy has something going on in his fucking brain. You know, and it's, you'll never truly know. And I hate to say this, but you'll never truly know until that person was to pass on and we can take their brain and we can study it, which I guess they use chemicals from what I've read. They cut brain tissue and they use some sort of chemical to change it in some way. Regardless, that's the only way of diagnosing it now is after you pass away. So unfortunately, we'll never know until it is too late. But hopefully that too late doesn't have to happen that many more times. You know, hopefully we can get a grip on this and we can work towards healing our brains before these actions happen.
Absolutely. And as much as we may not be able to like look at a brain and see that right this minute, we don't maybe have the technology yet to be able to diagnose it today before a person dies. But the thing we can do is look at a person's behavior and their thoughts and how they've changed over time. And they could potentially see someone like me, right? Or another psychologist, and they can start working on these things and start protecting themselves, right? Like if we're protecting the brain, we're not just talking about headgear, right? We're talking about you actually consulting with somebody that like, hey, my behavior is different than I thought. Like it's different than it was before. And I'm trying to understand that. Like the more you could like have a team of people that are invested in your health as much as you are, that's preventative measures as well.
The greatest thing about, I guess, like about my MMA career or my time in MMA, I've always been in these gyms who have been super mindful of it. And that's what I'm saying. I started paying attention to it when all these other guys, you know, if one of our guys were to ever get hurt, okay, well, they've got to sit out for a while. And then they slowly ease back into it weeks later. You know, nobody's rushing you, especially at an amateur level too, which is where most fighters will start, is at an amateur level. And if you get hurt at the amateur level, ease back into it. There's no reason you need to fight every single month or every single weekend or whatever. But I've been super blessed in Jacksonville, Florida, in Myrtle Beach, in Bristol, Virginia. I've been super blessed that every single gym I've been in has been super mindful and they, you know, they take care of their fighters. But then I get on Instagram and I see these videos all the time of these guys sparring and it looks like a rock'em sock'em robot match. And you don't need that in your practice. And there's an argument for sparring where, oh, well, you need to do this stuff full speed so you can get the timing down. The timing's still going to be the same, even if you are technical sparring, not going full speed. You're still going to find your openings. And that's all I'm trying to do is just make people aware of their actions, because your actions now will affect you later. And that's for high school kids or middle school kids or young adults, like whatever it is, your actions now will affect you later. Which is, you know, of course, it's more than just fighting. It's whether you decide to choose a career. You know, if you decide to be an electrician, then that's a career you're going to take with you. You understand what I'm saying? The same decision now. Take care of your brain now, and you'll get more use out of it.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's something that I don't know that brain health and MMA fighter were things that people should put together, but it makes sense that you would be an advocate for this, that when you're an athlete, especially when you're an athlete in something like MMA or like the NFL, if you're playing tackle football, like being protectors of the brain feels like a really excellent social justice place for y'all to be.
Yeah. I love it so much. I want to protect as many people in it as possible. And so far, you know, this would be the only way for me to kind of be an advocate for that, is telling people, hey, protect your brain, protect your brain. And some people listen, you know, some people don't.
Yeah. We need you all to listen. Everybody listening, come on. All the protection of the brain. That being said, I promised y'all we would bring this back to sex. I promised.
Yes,
and so the one thing that we were talking about was some of the CTE symptoms and how that could play out and how it has played out when I've worked with clients that have had serious brain injuries, like how to be able to, with full consent, be talking with your partner about your experience of the world, but also understanding what their experience of the world is. And if you are dealing with more aggression, if you are dealing with more depressive symptoms or anxiety symptoms because of some of the things you've been through, disclosing that to your partner and then negotiating sexual habits, sexual dynamics, and sexual practices together in a way that keeps your injury in mind. It's not protecting the person with the injury. That's not what we're talking about. But yes, their brain needs to be protected. But we're talking about protecting the relationship dynamic, right? Like some of the famous cases we referenced. We talked about how that there was domestic violence, there was boundary crossing, and some people ended up ending their own lives or ending others' lives. So being able to be completely authentic with your partner about healthy sexuality especially in the face of what you know may be a chronic condition that you're dealing with because of a brain injury. Does that kind of make sense to you?
100%. Anytime you're engaging in anything sexual, being 100% open is the number one thing. Because if you don't like, I don't want to give an example. if you don't like something, you should speak up. And I'm with you 100%. You've got to consent to what you're doing, and they have to kind of give you the okay. Because I don't want to give an example, but
You're good. You're on a sex podcast. You can give examples.
The thumb in the ass is always the number one go-to. If you don't like a thumb in your ass, say it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if not, I mean, it's a fucking long night for you.
I think you're giving a good example, right? Like I also wonder, like just out of curiosity, what's it like within like the MMA environment, like, or MMA culture, really? Like, how do you deal with the idea that what it means to be a man? What does it mean, like, being tough like a man? Everybody listening, I'm doing air quotes because this is like a gender bias, right? Like that often we run into, especially in sports that have been kind of like traditionally these kind of heteronormative, like, oh, you must be masculine, you must be manly, you know, you better man up and take a hit. How is MMA kind of handling those kind of stereotypes or breaking down some of those gender expectations?
I think MMA might actually be ahead of the curve on this one because a lot of people get into MMA because they want to learn a self-defense. And a lot of people that want to learn a self-defense are typically not your most masculine people. And I don't mean to like single anybody out, but that's where a lot of people come from.
They don't necessarily identify with that masculinity is what you're kind of saying.
And they want to learn a martial art as a form of protection. I'm not going to lie. Some of the best martial artists I've ever seen in my life work tech jobs or they are females, or, you know, they're not. MMA's changed so much because when I first started watching back in like the early 2000s, it was these guys with fucking mohawks and tattoos on their head, and they were big and jacked up, and, you know, and now it's your neighbor could be a jiu-jitsu black belt and you would never fucking know. I mean, don't go fuck with your neighbor to find out, but you would never know. I think it has opened up to a lot more people that don't fit in this box of, hey, I'm a tough guy and I'm going to knock your fucking head off. No, it's literally everybody, for a good reason, because like martial arts is the best way to learn a self-defense, but it's also better to be prepared than to need it and not have it. So I encourage everybody to learn self-defense, starting with jiu-jitsu. So if your neighbor ever does try to rob you, you can just fucking roll his ass up. And
you'll get through it. You'll get through the other side. I can attest to that. I don't know that I've ever actually told this story on the show. For a long time when I was younger, I did martial arts, but I did Kenpo.
Kenpo karate.
I did that for a long time. And that taught me a sense, especially as a young girl, a sense of being able to protect myself, that I then walked around the world differently because of it. And now that my children are old enough, both of them are going to be involved in martial arts. And I would like to go back to it because of this very same thing that you're talking about, that sense of being able to protect yourself if you were out in the world. It's not necessarily preparing for like being robbed. That's not necessarily what my parents put me into it for. They wanted me to have a sense of my physical self and that I could stand up for myself. That changed me as a kid.
I started in Kenpo karate as well when I was really young.
Oh, twins.
Yeah, twins. That's why my parents put me into it, though. So, you know, you kind of gain some self-defense, but you also gain confidence. And going into elementary, middle, high school confident, it helps you. You make a lot more friends that way. That's for sure.
Yes, it definitely changes your life. So you'll have more consensual sexual partners with more confidence. So here's a vote for MMA.
Yes. You'll get the swagger you need, and then
That's right.
yeah.
I love it. I love it. So I do want to make sure that Josh came prepared today and really wanted to bring y'all a sex tip, which I was like, yes, bring my people the sex tips. And it's specific to being quarantined. So I so appreciate that you even thought to do this. So quarantine world friendly, what is Josh's sex tip?
Guys, even though we are in a quarantine and you can't go anywhere, you still have to take care of yourself. You still have to practice basic hygiene. Brush your teeth, take a shower, wear deodorant. Hey, you can even have a date at the house. Your wife might be working, you might not be, or you might both be working. Do your fucking date night at the house. Come home, take a shower, spray on your good CK Eternity. Spray on your CK Eternity and make love on the couch. I mean, why not?
The stuff from, oh man, you're taking me back. There was a couple during the, especially like early 2000s that were incredibly popular. CK Eternity. Oh, I'm trying to remember. There was a blue one I remember, but Cool Waters or some shit.
Yeah. You know. CK Eternity is mentioned in a Fall Out Boy song. And that was like the first thing that came to mind. But you've got to take care of yourself. You have to take care of yourself because your partner is not going to want to have sex with you if you sat and you binged Netflix for 4 days on end under the covers and you've not left and you've been eating in bed and there's fucking Cheeto dust all over the pillows. Take care of yourself, guys.
You are talking about creating a better sexy context. I am very much appreciate that. And any of you out there, regardless of your gender identity, please listen to Josh because we're all doing this. We're all sitting at home. Some of us are sitting at home and feeling very depressed that we're sitting at home and we're watching a lot of Netflix and we're not doing our basic hygiene things. And we're still wanting to use sex to cope, which is great because sex and masturbation. So all of you, sex and masturbation, change those brain chemicals as much as you can. But before you do that, take care of yourself. Everybody wants to have sex when we don't smell like 3-day-old Cheeto dust.
me and my wife, we're both essential workers. So we both work, you know, your typical hours. We come home and even having a small child, we're still making date night an important part of our life because it wasn't before this. It's going to be after this. So why not do it during? Order fucking pizza, watch something on Netflix that you both enjoy. That's the number two thing right there is you gotta be very giving. If you don't want to watch fucking Housewives of LA, suffer through it for the after party.
Or try on something new. Like there's a great series called 100 Humans. And it's a series, so it's episodic, and it's the same 100 humans, and they put them through psychological testing, and you get to see all of the fun that goes with it. So I'm telling everyone to check that out because it really is fun to watch like how humans, when put in certain situations, actually do things. And these are not just like super certain situations to make them feel awkward. These are actual like psychological tests and you get to see how they turn out. It's a lot of fun. So make it a date night. Use Josh's tip. Clean up.
Take a shower. Light your candles.
Order some good damn food.
Hey, Domino's right now, if you download the app, you can, after you order 6 times, you get a free pizza. So shit.
Hey, get it done. And Domino's, support both our podcasts.
Yes.
Josh, I so appreciate you being on the show. How do people find you in the world?
On Instagram, my personal Instagram is at Thomas Josh, JAWWSH, or at the Takedown Podcast. And my podcast, The Takedown with Josh Thomas, is on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, Podbay, Podfuck, Podshit, Pod everywhere. Everywhere.
Wherever we can get our podcasts, put them there.
Everywhere.
All right, folks. Thank you for sticking around this week, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening, folks. Please rate and review on iTunes. It helps this podcast get found. If you leave a 5-star review, let me know about it on any social media, and I'll shout you out on the podcast. You can find my website at ericamiley.com. You can find me on Facebook, the Gram, and Twitter. See y'all next time.